Hello, footies, and welcome back to Foot in Review, your twice-a-week dose of FC 24 goodness going strong for 600 episodes so far. Today, we'll be discussing Golazzo Team 2. We look at what happened with the David Beckham SBC and how EA tried to correct that. We present the winner of our episode 600 jersey from the socials, the Powerball drawing, which you all expected we did offline, but we do have a recording which we put on socials and on our website shortly. We gave away way too many jerseys there and we sent them all over the world. But the most important thing is we raised £750 for the McMillan Cancer Support, and our gratitude towards you. Generated donations are very much appreciated and very high. Also, do we have some tips for helping you with the mental side of FC24? My name is John, and in this packed episode 601, I am joined by none other than Mr. FC24 Database, the co-founder of the Review Podcast, the man with the best beard in the business. It's none other than Hengve.
Hello, hello.
Hello, my friend. Good to have you back on.
Good to be here.
And of course, the Friday evening wouldn't be complete without the other man, the man, the legend, all the way from Scotland, having a Foot and Review tiger on his shoulder. If you're watching the video show, it's none other than our own Foot and Review teddy bear. It's Chris.
Evening, guys. Evening, everyone. Welcome. Is it 601, John? Did we make it past the magic 600?
We did not only made it past 600 episodes, but we actually got a celebration episode out.
Yeah, it was tremendous.
Which was a feud on its own.
Yeah, I think I recorded my segment about five times. Thankfully, I think I deleted them, so you don't have those outtakes to show people.
Yeah. Well, how do you guys like it, though? I want to thank everyone, before I ask you that, for all your support and the message you sent. Or just way too much, many messages to actually handle on the show. So don't be afraid. We read them all. We very much appreciate it. And we do it for those messages, basically. But we wanted to do this a episode where we looked back, maybe got a little bit of sentiment in, but also not try to make an uber long stretched out episodes with only us talking about the past. So hopefully this was like the perfect mix of that. Did you like it, Chris?
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was great. I thought it was just the perfect length for people. And as you say, it wasn't too sentimental or too nostalgic. It just gave it a little chance to thank our listeners, our loyal listeners, our Patreon members, our Discord members, and everybody else. It was great. I really enjoyed it. And some of it was quite emotional.
Talking about emotional, Ingvi, did you shed a tear, my friend?
Oh, yes. It was beautiful. I loved it.
Oh, actually, he does sound sincere, Daddy Chris.
He does, he certainly does.
I have not had the courage to watch it back myself after spending so many hours trying to put it together. It's like I need to, I don't know, maybe we'll have to watch it back in Crete, Chris.
When we're there.
Anyways, Golazzo Team 2 is here. We have to talk about little thing about David Beckham. But I first have to say something to Ingvi. Because Ingvi, last week we had, struck a deal where I would use a whole lot of different new players than I didn't have in my team before. Just see how that went. I can make that really short, that summary, though. My week in foot has been a nightmare. An absolute nightmare. I had Ruud van Nistelrooy on top. I was like, oh, that's cool. Well, he does look cool. Let's put it like this. Then I used the Berbatov card on top, the 89 rated, which I packed, I said it before the show, but I forgot, four or five times, actually. He was fun in squad battles, trying to unlock for Persie, but that's about it. Really did my head in as well. I use Rijkaard as center midfielder, which is cool, but he's definitely not a Gullit or Zidane. And that was like the whole story all over the pitch. Like, this is not a bad player, but the players I used before this is just way better. The only player that's sort of stuck in my team now is Van der Sar, T92 rated Van der Sar. I used Casillas for so long, and actually sort of refreshing have another goalkeeper in, which didn't falter either, so I might just keep him in, but there's not much difference between the moat, I feel. But everyone else, I was so glad I got my 7 wins in rivals. I was like, and after Wednesday, I can just switch back and use my regular team. Thank you for the challenging view.
Yeah.
But I'm never doing that.
good. Did well.
So we got that thing settled. Next thing, though. Team 2, what do we have? You take it away.
We have, of course, icons, and we have the heroes and the junior versions of a few as well. I can mention there's an objective player this week, junior icon, and that's the Xavi Alonso card. And if you didn't pack the kind of prime 93 rated Golazo Xabi Alonso, you can unlock the 90 rated card, which also looks solid, I would say. It's not a bad card, but it's if you pack the 93, maybe then it's not that urgent maybe to get it unlocked. I really like the 93 rated card. I have that one. I packed it. So,
isn't this the other way around? Like from Percy, we got the junior without the senior being released. Now we had the time to pack the senior, and then the junior gets out, which feels a little bit weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange for me as well. So
something else I find really strange about this selection, but I'll get into that in more detail in a bit, though.
Yeah. I can also mention we got a Eredivisie Player of the Month, Kai Seahus. Seahus? I don't know how you...
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, thank you.
It's in the 18K to do for an 88 rated striker. So, well, if you got some duplicates, you know where to put them. And we got the Golazo Eric Cantona SPC today, 1.4 million, 92 rated center forward, 5-star skimmer, 4-star weak foot, high attacking, medium defensive work rates. He's got the technical plus and chip shot plus with some other nice normal playstyles, of course. It's a solid looking card. I guess it's not too bad value, but if compared to his 90 rated card, the boost, there's quite a good jump on the agility and balance with a +7, but the other ones are like +1 and +2s and a little bit on pace. So the Thunderstruck version is around 235,000 coins. I don't know if this Golazo card is 1.2-ish millions better than that, to be honest.
I get why they gave him finesse shot plus. No, the chip shot plus, because of its classic goal, which fits the team. I'd rather go for the 90 version.
Yeah, I think many will. But I think you'll see him in...
He only had a 5-star.
Yeah, 5-star. 5-star would have made him quite a lot more attractive. They could have made him maybe one a section more with that. But now it's like, I don't know. It's not like, oh, yes, I really want to do this SPC. Unfortunately, I was hoping for something better, to be honest.
Chris, thoughts from Cantona?
The problem is there's nothing to do in the game in terms of having... We've got so many dupes. We've had the cup. Am I right in saying that? We've had the cup giving you packs. We've had packs for this, packs for that. You know, I've got 65 packs at the moment. I put 89 Virgil van Dijk in an exchange because there's nothing to do. So I'd say, you know, why not use them? Why not just do it and use him? Because I think you'll have a lot of fun with him. The ball sticks pretty well with him. I realise he's only got the 4-star weak foot, but actually that doesn't bother me too much. I mean, a player like that, yeah, I think at this stage of the game, I would suggest that, you know, unless there's something else around the corner, and looking at last week's content, I know we're going to talk about David Beckham, I would just do it because I think you're going to have all these players coming, you're going to have all these packs come, team of the season as well. So yeah, definitely, I think I'm going to start doing them just for something to keep me interested.
My problem with this is I think the Mia Hamm card looks actually better than...
Yeah, I think I would rather do the Mia Hamm one to be a double 5-star as well. So
exactly, yeah.
I think the issue with the Mia Hamm one is it the base icon, that one?
Yeah, it's expensive, that one as well, of course, but I think that's a better card.
And it's, I know I'm a picture snob, a dynamic image snob, but I don't really want, you know, just a normal image on my team now. I know that's a weird thing to say, but when you look at those cards and you've got, you know, that's why Maldini's not on my team anymore and I put in Nesta, because he's got that nice pink bit of card there. I know he's a better player.
You know, but I just, like, this is a good card or not, no. I like the picture better.
I like the picture because when I want somebody to look at my team and go, yeah, it's a great card, don't be sending some base icon in there, do you? So no, sorry, Mia Hamm, you're out, unless you get your picture sorted. So Cantona for me, good dynamic image.
Yeah, nothing wrong with the dynamic image at all. That's a nice one, but yeah.
I would go for
fun fact. Cantona is playing in Oslo this weekend, so I talked to a guy on Discord, said he was going to go to the concert first row as well. So that's probably going to be interesting. Yeah. I didn't know he was.
If this dynamic image had a microphone on, he could. Yeah. Then I'd do it.
Well, do us a favor, Ingrid. Tell your friend not to slag him off, because you might get kung fu kicked being in the front row.
Maybe.
No. Leave that one in. That's the last time we talked about a dynamic image, Ingrid, was last week when you talked about the dynamic image of Prince, calling it a sideways mugshot, if I recall it correctly.
Yeah, something like that.
I pegged her four times, the 94 rated Prince, and I actually like the card.
Yeah.
But four times her. A bit much. But I think it's a pretty cool card, if I'm honest.
I packed her and her baby icon in the same 83 times 10.
Of course you did.
Aye, so that just, I mean, but the thing is, it's going to go to Fodder, go to Cannon. I don't like her picture, so that's the one that's Cannon's going to go in for.
We need to have a Chris rating for the dynamic images soon. Do we give 1 to 5 Chris stars?
I mean, I think it's a decent card. I've always liked using him. I'm not a skiller. He's big and strong. You know, I have Benzema in my team. I think it's the Foot Birthday one. It's a good card. So, yeah, I think it's all right for doing. I mean, yeah, I would do it. It's nothing really else to do with it. You know, as I say, I put 89 Virgil van Dijk in an exchange to get 51 cards, and they're not even all rare, and that's because I wanted to do 81 player picks. So work that out. I think I got the best with an 86. So
you know, I had to do the same thing. I packed a duplicate Van Dijk, and there wasn't any SPC I wanted to do, so I just threw him in an exchange. So, but I actually got Xavi Alonso from that. So I was kind of lucky when I threw Van Dijk in, though. So I'm not going to complain. But those have been really bad. Like 84 if I'm lucky from those. So for once I was really lucky with the Alonso card, which is really good. So I was happy with that one.
Yeah, I get that. I had to toss Prince into an 89 plus this week. But hey, that's a different story. All right, so Cantona, I think it's a bit of, you can't really go wrong, but it's also not necessarily a must do. Do I summarize that correctly then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. There is one card that, when we move on, I'd like to ask Ingvi when we get on to Team 2. If that's
we
you,
go
John.
To Team 2 now, sir. Sure.
Go ahead.
The one I find surprising is, and maybe I'm wrong, there's a player here called Carlos, 93 rated left back, 905,000. And then there's, in an SBC for Icon, there's a 92 rated Roberto Carlos. Mm-hmm.
That is exactly the card which I wanted to discuss just
now. Is that the same player? Because it's two different names.
And it's the future stars, Roberto Carlos, and now we have the Golasso Roberto Carlos in packs. And I was going to mention it as well. I feel sorry for those who just finished the SBC. And of course, if you had untradeable packs, it's like, you didn't lose coins or anything, but still, now there's a cooler card. Maybe better playstyles as well. Quite cheap.
No, absolutely. I think this really sucks, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Not even because I don't think the dynamic image, but I was like, Roberto Carlos is a must-do for me always, right? So whenever he comes out, I'll just do him. I was like, at least I didn't put out his base card, which is cool. And then I finished him last Friday, I think, just before the showing fee. And 1 week later, there's a better version of him available. And it's not that much. If you compare him, it's not a huge difference. Like, not the end of the world. but it still sort of nags me. Like, you could have at least waited till the SBC ran out.
Yeah, yeah, right? I agree. It's a little bit, well, it's very unfortunate. And the Colasso one is five-star skimmers, five-star weak foot as well.
I know.
Which is also, I didn't notice before now. And the other, the one, the Future Stars one, which was an SBC, was four-star skimmer, four-star weak foot. So,
so I was here just putting it out, like, making it easy for people. It's not a big difference. Don't know if you compare stats, but it is I a like big the, difference on the other side.
The work rates on the Colasso has high as well, which is also better, I think, than high attacking medium.
Stop it. I'm already dead.
Yeah. Yeah. The Carlos card looks really good though. So, but yeah. Yeah. It's annoying that he came out while the SPC is still, available.
I think this is an ideal time for our listeners to people to compare the two cards and then tag John in it, because he loves that as well, doesn't he? So get the stats of the two cards side by side and then just tag John on our socials, because he loves looking at that kind of thing.
It's not a comparison I'm against with, man.
You know, I mean, I wonder even if that 93 Roberto Carlos is better than Virgil van Dijk. I mean, if you want to compare him to him, just send that to John as well. He loves things like that.
Team of the Air van Dijk, then, I guess.
The joy this man must have. Let's go.
Yeah. Team two. There are some good cards, of course. We have Puskas, which looks really good, of course. He's 4-star skimmer and 4-star weak foot, but he's sort of 6.2 million, which is, but he has 99 composure, 99 positioning, 99 finishing, 98 shot power, 96 volleys, 99 reactions, which is, 96 vision, 95 short passing, 92 long passing, 97 long shots, finesse shot plus, first touch plus, and of course lots of other good plays that. But it's very high priced card, of course, 96 rated.
Yeah, like what can we say about this? Like, it's perfect card, good card, sure. Hopefully back
up. Yeah, but if I'm going to be a little bit picky, I don't know if I would pay 6.2 million for a double 4-star card. I think that's a little bit... I don't think I would spend that much on a double 4-star card, to be honest. Not attacker, because I would prefer he had a 5-star weak foot for that price.
I get that, but for me it's hard to say that, because it's like... me looking at an Aston Martin dealer and saying, oh, I'm not sure if I would spend this amount of money at this car. Well, I won't ever have that amount of money, so it doesn't make sense for me to actually judge it.
Fair enough.
Same as FIFA. I got 163,000 coins currently, so let's go.
You can buy the 93 Viale because it's at the moment 97,000 coins, which is really cheap, I think. So
another one of those cards from, like, same with Prince last week, like, why is Prince 80k, why is Fioli 97k, but he will be 80k as well at the end of the week. 5-star week, 4-star week,
skill
like
moves,
4-star week, skill moves. It's 91 acceleration, 92 sprint speed, 97 finishing. Like, oh, he must have had bad play styles, but he's got aerial plus and quick step plus. It's not that bad, and he's all the others
as well. So I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Don't know why. Because, I mean, for people my age, the late, great Viale, just an icon. You know, it was Channel 4 Sundays watching James Richardson and Galazios. I mean, he is the actual ideal player to be in this, because he was part of those shows. I had the base icon, and I must admit, I wasn't overly impressed with that one, but I think that's because that one had hair, and that was the problem. this one is the actual Viale look. It looks a great card. And I think the reason, John, is because, as we talked about on chat not long ago, I think the teams are so stacked at the moment, even compared to last year. I don't think we can actually complain for that. And I think that's the reason why these cards are so low. You know, 93 rated, been under 100k. And as you say, it's probably going to hit 80k come the weekend. I think it's just people are just have so many cards in their team that it doesn't really matter. But it'd be great to pack them.
Yeah.
Guess that's fair, I think.
agree.
I mean, you could buy them. That's the thing as well, is you just go and buy them and use them and have fun with them. And just, you know.
I tried that this week. That didn't work out well.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand that. And but I think it's maybe the level you play at when you're sitting in the division that I'm sitting at, that maybe Viali will fit right in, no problem. But it's one of these cards that if you buy them for 90,000 at the moment and you lose 17,000 coins when you go to sell them or excluding the tax, what does it matter? You've actually got to use one of your icons for your childhood if you're like me. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I would do them. I think this is what this promo should be about. These sort of cards, when you look at it, I mean, we're going to probably talk about them, but the Jorginho card, looking like a proper 70s football star that he is with that big hair, but 13 million coins. And then you look at it, he's 5-star skills, 4-star weak foot. That is a bizarre price.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit hype. Quickstep Plus is quite popular, it seems, at the moment. Technical Plus as well. But he doesn't have that many. He has the Power Shot Plus, but not many other finishing type of play styles. He has more like a winger type of setup. But 13 millions for a winger, I don't think so for me. If I want a winger, I need a whip pass plus. And striker with 47 aggression, I don't know. He's probably good, of course, in the right hands, but maybe not in my hands. So,
but it just seems an awful price. Don't you think, 13 million coins?
He should maybe go down a bit, maybe. I think. But at the moment, it's 13 million.
If you need a winger, there's an SBC available that went out of being available and now is back to being available.
Yeah. That's so.
Talking about Bridges, don't want to talk about what happened with David Beckham here?
Yeah, Beckham was made available as an SBC on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday yeah.
And people noticed it was a tradable version. So if you did the SBC and finished it, you got a tradable David Beckham. If you didn't finish the SBC, got taken down, but it came back up and your progress was saved. So you can continue again now and you'll get your packs back. But if you finish the SBC, you don't get the packs back, which is, I guess, fair enough.
Not players back, I mean, of course. But
yeah.
Just on that as well, but the compensation, just as I remember now, you can add it on to this chat, is the 84 plus packs that got handed into people through the week or through the night last night. Am I right in saying that? There was quite a few... people received a lot of packs as well. Mm-hmm. So just if you can add that onto that chat about mistakes that EA have made.
The thing with that one is that I don't know anyone that got that pack. I've been asking around all day.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'd have no idea what it actually was for and who got it. Makes sense?
I haven't heard either. It must have been from some objective or something that was worded wrong or... But then the compensation was, I think I saw one that got 53 packs or something. So I don't know. It's very strange. I'm trying to find out, but I haven't heard anything yet. So,
but I want to come back to David Beckham though, because this SBC came out, like Singh says, and he was tradable. Obviously, they didn't mean to make him tradable, else they wouldn't pull in. But the SBC did not state it was an untradable version. Because I've had both him and him under each other on the app, and the one said big and tradable, the other one didn't say anything. So it was not falsely advertised, if that makes sense.
No.
Right? It was unexpected. It definitely wasn't the intention, but it was not falsely stated. And so technically, they did not even make a mistake, if that makes sense. No. And I think the way they pulled it, once they figured that out, they said we're putting the untradable version back, but giving everyone, keeping the progress and giving the players back. If you have the tradable card, you can keep the tradable card, but you can't do the untradable, I think. Mm-hmm. And if you did put, I think it wasn't a big mistake. If you would call it was obviously a mistake, but I don't think it's actually a big mess up. The way they fixed this made me to realize, hey, wait a minute, they actually made a backup plan after the Toure Schneider thingy incident. And I find this a really good solution. Do you concur? Do you agree on that? Or
Chris is thinking. Yeah, I think the problem is, John, it's just another error.
After, is it though? If they left it in, it's
yeah, it's an error because
they removed it. It's an error. Wait, so, yeah.
It's an error. So how many icons have they ever done that's been tradable? None, I would say.
No SBCs.
Socrates who have done. Zidane who have done, definitely is not tradable. So none of those SBCs are tradable. So you've just had a situation where the people have took advantage of the Torre and Snyder incident. Messigate, the list could go on. I'm sure our listeners are bored of us talking about it, but it just seems to be every week. I mean, somebody somewhere must go, have you clicked that untradable button? Yep, I've done it. And then they're like, oh, made a mistake. Sorry. You know what I mean? Come on. It's not like these things happen just by accident. There has to be certain criteria that you put into the program that makes it do this. Otherwise, every icon would be tradable.
I'm not saying it's not a mistake because they did pull it, right? Mm-hmm. But it would be a bigger mistake if it says untradable and would give out tradable players.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's something that wasn't happening. Or when it says tradable and you got an untradable player, then you definitely deserve compensation, etc., etc. Now, this situation, in my honest opinion, is everyone that did it got lucky because they got a tradable version and can do whatever they want with it. I would sell them right away the moment I saw it was tradable, but that's a different story. But even those players got like, their compensation is a free Beckham that's tradable, but everyone else just got every single card back and can get another go at the untradable version. Mm-hmm. And they kept the packs that if they already did it, right? So mm-hmm. I think this is a perfect solution for not even a big
it's
mistake.
It's one of the better ones, that's for sure. But I feel really sorry mm-hmm. for the ones that had bought the David Beckham card earlier that day because they lost a lot of... lost a lot of coins because he was over 500 something, 550,000 coins, I think. And then now he's 290. So they lost a lot of coins, the ones that already had bought him. So, I feel...
And I do get that, but how you can't really correct that anymore.
No.
Anyways, I do agree with the fact you could say it was a mistake again. But I do think the solution was... well-timed, well put into place, and definitely well executed.
But I don't think...
communicated well as well, right? And they fixed it, put it back one day later.
I don't think the people that halfway finished the SPC has gotten their players back yet, though. So, but I guess that's in the coming days, and we know that could take a few weeks. I mean,
and that card has a short shelf life, I'd be honest with you. The rating that he's at, I mean, he's nothing fantastic. And, you know... he's going to get superseded very quickly. If you're going to do that card, you're doing it either because you're a David Beckham fan or a Mad Man United fan or Real Madrid fan, or you want to use the card. And you want to use them as soon as possible because, as I say, come a 2 weeks' time when maybe Tots is out or whatever, that card becomes obsolete. So the four, whatever it is, the SBC cost, that's just coins down the drain.
Yeah. If you look at the...
I do him before spending 30 million.
Yeah, that's true, of course. But if you compare the Beckham to the best Jisung Park card, which has double five star as well, that's new Park card is better than the Beckham one, stats wise at least. Mm. So,
Chris,
can I just ask about one card, Dingby, when we've got you on? Ivan Cordoba card.
Yeah.
5'8" for a centre back. So that's got me worried. But is there anything in that card that would make you want to, if you have the coins and you're looking for a decent centre back, is he that?
If he's a decent centre back, yeah, I guess he's.
Oh, you're looking
he's
for
perfect a perfect centre back, mate.
Yeah. So is he worth the coins, is basically what I'm asking, in 100%. Your opinion?
Not for me, not for my style. But I think it's a good price for the card, but not the way I play, because I've noticed something about the Intercept Plus players, that they are very aggressive in the press, and I'm not fast enough to control and keep my players in position. So suddenly the center back with that play style, he kind of pushes forward to press and leaves a gap behind him, and I can't cover that gap fast enough. And I let in so many goals when I had one intercept plus. I couldn't understand what was happening. And then suddenly I read something online that the intercept plus ones makes them go a little bit gung-ho in the press. For my style, I would struggle with him. But the stats are really good. If he had anticipate plus, I think he would be worth the coins, yes.
Okay. Please, can I? Let me put it like this. The 87th card, rated card, his base card has no playstyles on him. Or at least no defending playstyles. I think aerial maybe, but that's it. Power normal, power header, and jockey. But that's the regular one. That card was broken for the first 3 months in the FC24. Now we got a version that's way faster. 98 jumping. The other one is 94 jumping, but the 98 jumping isn't something to diss away either. He's got 90 acceleration, 90 sprint speed. I don't even know if we have a center back that's comparable to that one on pace. With 99 shot power, 98 volley, so it's a threat on air as well with the 98 jumping. And he's got the aerial plus playstyle and the intercept playstyle. This 1.2 million, I don't have it. I mean, that's unfortunate. But 1.2 million would be an instant buy for me if I had the coins. I'm going to lie there. I think this is one of those cards which might actually go up in price if you see people use them in the next couple of weeks. And I think we might be lucky there's no more pro tournaments really going on, because they definitely be using this one.
I don't think they would, to be honest, because there's a certain hole on that's allowed to be used in pro tournaments, and I'm pretty sure that Cordoba won't beat Holon. I'm not sure he's even going to beat the Peter Crouch card in the air, to be honest, even with that jumping.
I think pro tournaments are a little bit different, as in crosses don't do that much, honestly, because I've said that before. You cross, you miss it, you get countered. You don't want to get countered against good players. So you don't see too many crosses on high-level plays. You see through balls. You see a skill move into a shot, which this guy can just take out anyway. So I think we're sort of lucky. I think 1.2 million, Chris, coming back to your question, for someone that is very defensive-minded in FC or in general FIFA play, he would be my perfect center defender. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have next to one of those big guys, like next to the Maldinis, or the Virgils, or the Kanjis.
Marquez.
Or Marquez, actually, like we said, I think the Marquez is also a very underrated center defender. People see him as a center defensive midfielder, but put him as a center defender and he's actually way stronger than we think.
Because I was just going to add there, just on you saying that, Jonas, I've stuck a shadow on him, which is, sorry,
a shadow on this one.
Yeah, so 98 acceleration, 98 sprint speed. Defending is all 99 bar defensive awareness, which is 96. When you include the fact that he's got 98 balance and 86 agility, 88 composure as well, the only thing that potentially lets him down is strength, but that's 88.
Yeah, but that's why you put an anchor on this one. If you put an anchor on this one, he'd still be 94 pace, but he would have 98 strength. Okay. 96, I think, actually, on top of my mind. It was 80 these times, I think. So would he have 96 strength? So I would still say anchor on him, still get max at defensive stats, 94 mm-hmm. on sprint and acceleration, and he would get almost maxed out strength as well.
Just looking at the RP max, what it says for centre-back. Yeah, anchor. Anchor's the best one. Makes him 96 rated. It does look a great card.
The only thing is...
5'8" was the only thing that concerned me. The fact is, a centre back at 5'8". I mean, he would be ideal, maybe at 3 at the back.
Yeah, I think
it would be ideal on 2 at the back as well.
I sent you guys a comparison between Cordoba and Marquez. So, you know, I'm a really big fan of those.
I'll check that out. That we'll also check after something.
Well,
we'll check back after this break. Welcome back, footies. This has been an interesting break, to be honest. And if you're tired of these breaks, you can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/footandreview. Because for a buck a week or something, about a buck a week, depending on what currency you use, but 5 euros a month, I think, starting from that one, you won't have any breaks anymore. And you get the show on Friday, at least a day earlier. if he wants to talk about a certain player in this team, Chris has decided to not play football with 11 persons on one side anymore, and he wants to discuss that. And we got a question about mentality on how to stay sane during Weekend League. Avery, do you want to start with talking about one of my favorite players in the game, which suddenly lost a little bit of value?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Kaká card, 93 rated, which has 5 star skimmer, 4 star weak foot, high attacking, medium defensive, work rates. He has the rapid plus and ping pass plus, and of course, very good normal play styles as well. The card looks really good. And what I also like is that he doesn't only have the cam position now. You can also start him in a right wing, left wing, and a striker. So building him into a team is so much easier, which I find very nice.
Which is also the fact that I'm having difficulties fitting my Kaká, and I got a Thunderstruck one. And it is hard to find a formation to set him up properly. Yeah. This one fixes. That's cool.
Yeah. It's not like crazy better stats, but those position helps, of course, and the playstyles are nice as well. So
that's +2 on everything, so I wouldn't spend 1 million more if you decided to get one Kaká card, though.
So, but I like it that finally he got a few more positions, so it make him a little bit easier to build into teams. So, that's of course very nice. Some good playstyles as well helps. So if you already like the 91 rated one, then I think you like this one as well.
You make it sound like the 91 rated is really poor.
Oh no, no! He's been a really good card for a while. So
I used him until I packed that Zico card. I think Zico is a little The speed of Zico makes it a little bit easier to play.
Yeah, it's
with.
A little bit smaller in size. So
exactly. So combine that with the fact you can only have one cam in most formations I play. So that's why Zico has the advantage. But I played with Kaká for like at least 400 matches, I think. And he's been very good for me. So. Alrighty. Any players you want to highlight? Talked about maybe a certain center defender, or
I looked at Vidic and he looks quite good as well. He has the aerial plus and bruiser plus, which is nice. 5 star weak foot is nice. Perfect work rates. So very good defensive stats and physical as well. So I would say that. So I think he'll drop under.
When I look at all these cards, I think Steam season might just only. Can only be underwhelming because some of these cards are insane.
It's going to be interesting to see the team of the season cards, how they will be. So
all playstyles will be playstyle plus.
Yeah, that's also going to be, but I have to really highlight the Park card. It looks really good. And he can start as a center mid, right mid, and left winger. So he's down to 630,000 coins now, so I think that's a really good value for a card as well.
Yeah, I'm just a couple K short, but else.
You'll pack him.
Oh, no, I won't. But that's all right. That's all right. I packed enough this week. Chris, you got something up your sleeve. You suddenly wanted to drop the whole 11 versus 11.
Well, it was just a bit of fun. I had such fun on the 600 show that I asked our wonderful Discord, which you can join for free now. If you check out our socials, the link will be there. Well worth coming in and joining. The place is absolutely great. I asked them to pick their six-a-side FC24 team and who they would pick. Homer, he picked a few interesting cards. He actually picked 6-7 players, so he's definitely going to win.
Let me start. Why is 6 versus 6?
Six. I mean, most people play 5-a-side or 6-a-side these days.
No, 11. There's just 11 aside.
Very few people though. But actually,
Volta is 5-a-side, I guess.
Volta is 5-a-side. It's a good fun game. I thought, well, if you had to pick an ultimate team, who would you pick to be in your 6-a-side team?
Basically, if you play Volta, what would you play?
Let's be honest. A lot of guys you know, play with their mates, play five-a-side, six-a-side, play with the walls. You know, it's good fun. It's good to keep that yourself in that. So Homer, he went with Chilavert. I don't know that goalkeeper. Bobby Moore and Ronald Koeman as his defensive two. With Carrick, Rakitic. And then he did pick two up front, which gave him seven players. So we'll go with Batistuta. He's not actually in the FC. So he's
Chilavert isn't in game either. So
no, he looked at it. So he put Chilavert because I think Chilavert scored goals. Ronald Koeman and Bobby Moore picked his actual football playing centre backs. And Michael Carrick, he just liked him as a player. And then, oh bugger it, he picked Iker Casillas Thunderstruck, which I think you like, John, don't you?
Yeah, I think everyone likes that one.
Yep. And then he went with Roberto Carlos and Cafu as his defensive ones. He was looking for nippy players to run about the place and score goals. With Xavi and Bon Mati in his midfield. Now, that is a stunning midfield, that, isn't it? And then up front, I'm sure you like this, John, he went with Galazio Cruyff. I'm sure you could speak wax lyrical about your countrymen.
I mean, of course, but I don't really have to praise Cruyff any more than he gets, right?
Yeah. You know, but actually, so they're great teams, their ones. And Hopin, he actually didn't pick a team, but he would like to have seen road to the final Lukaku up front, that big man, again, six aside. You would get the ball.
Nobody wants to see that.
You know, but for me, I picked a six aside team. So I picked Alisson in goal. I'm sure Yngwie would agree. That's a great goalkeeper to pick. A ball-playing goalkeeper. I was going to pick Ruud van Nistelrooy in goal, but I think John would kick me off the show. You know what I mean? You've got a goal-scoring goalkeeper there as well. Virgil van Dijk in defence, along with Socrates. Those guys have got such long legs that they can actually just reach out and touch either side without actually moving, so they can tackle pretty much everything on a six-a-side pitch. And I went with the highest goal-scoring defender in the UK, James Tavernier, who broke the record last week. He's only second, I think, now to Ronald Koeman. There's about 60 goals behind him, so I don't think he's going to catch him. And then a player who I think you can't ever not have in a six-a-side pitch is the Empress Esawa. I mean, she just buzzes about the place. She has great energy. And then up front, I would play Benzema, because that guy would just... He's a guy who, when you play six-a-side, just stands in front of the goal and just you pass to him and he scores goals. He doesn't actually move. He just stands about the penalty spot and just scores goals left, right and centre. So that would be my six-a-side team.
I don't think that would work in a six-a-side, though, honestly. I would love the guys like Neymar on top, Vinicius on top, guys that you just give
Mbappe
a ball, they turn around seven times, everyone gets dizzy. Yeah. And Mbappe doesn't, like, he can't really use his speed.
No.
Right on.
I would use technical players. I could mention two players I would put in the team that nobody picked, at least. I would pick McManaman because he could dribble five players in a phone booth. So I think he would be good. And I also have Graham Souness. I don't think anybody would get past him. If they did, he would tackle them. So those two would be in my team, at least.
I mean, Graham Souness is ideal if you're going to play prison rules.
He would fit there as well, of course. Oh, crazy.
Yeah. But no, that was a wee bit of fun just to see who you would pick. But I think I think if you had Neymar and Vinny Jr. in your team, you'd end up boxing with opposition when he was doing the rainbow flicks and that.
I would do like, let's get Messi and let's get the Neymar and let's get the Vinicius in, right? People like that. And if it has to be FC players, I would go with Ruud van Nistelrooy in goal because at least he's good with the ball on his feet. And I would go with Josh in a centre defender just to make sure my head goes nuts during a match. But I would go with Koeman, Rijkaard, honestly, normally at defense, I guess. But honestly, when you play 5-5, I would go with play or 6-6. I would go with players that are good with the ball on the feet. Mm-hmm. Like I would say, I would probably go with Vinicius. I would probably go with Neymar. Of course, I think prefer Messi then as well. I think Xavi as midfielder, the team of the year, Xavi card would work really well with. I wouldn't even know Koeman at the back, honestly. I would maybe as well just do a Cafu or someone like that. And then you can put the smallest goalkeeper you've got.
You could put Carlos there. He could just get the ball and just shoot from his own half and goalkeeper would struggle. So
Yeah, and if you hit the wall, the wall might break. So you can just try it. It could be a cool Ultimate Team.
It's mode, a vault down,
like
a vault
friendly down. Mode, though, instead of like doing the, like Volta 3 versus 3,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Four, I think it might be four. I think the goalkeeper is generally computer controlled, isn't it?
Right, last time I played Volta was last year.
I haven't played Volta for many years, unfortunately. So.
But if you have a mode incorporated in foot that actually is like that, could honestly be good.
For could be some objectives cup like that, 6 versus 6. That could have been really interesting.
Fast matches, 4 minutes and a half, let's go. First one that scores 5 goals wins.
Yeah, that's it. So for our listeners out there, join in the fun, send us your teams, tag us in our socials, and we'll message them in later shows in the future.
I would probably go with the new Cordoba.
He could fit as well, of course. He would be perfect for that.
Well, that's just great. Just when you're talking about that, if someone's looking at that, Yngwie, do they go Vidic or do they go Cordoba? If they've got the coins, who would you pick?
If I got the coins...
Yeah, so you can buy either one of those players. Which one? Because you just mentioned the Vidic card or that. Which one would you take?
That's
because they're similar price. They're not hugely different, are they, in terms of coin balance?
No, they're not. Not in price, at least. So for my style, I think probably Vidic would be a better solution, the way I play, though. But if I was going to play 3 at the back, I would go Cordoba 100%. 4 at the back, Vidic. For my style. I know what works, and I tried the Cordoba base in draft, and it wasn't a huge success, to put it mildly.
No, I get that. I do get that. Let's leave that. Talking about socials, Chris, we also said during episode 600 that if someone, we ask one question. And I think many people are like, oh, he's going to ask a question. And they wrote whole books and notepads full. And the question was, which episode are we now celebrating? So that wasn't a really hard question. So people send in their answers on socials. And we said, someone, we draw at random from those sending questions, has it. And I think we have to ship ship another jersey to Norway. Because friend of the show, but he reached out on Twitter. So it's not like... was on Discord or something. Nurozic won the jersey. So Oystein, the shirt is coming your way. I might just have to send it along to Yngwie to give it to you, because we still have a shipment for Yngwie ready here as well. But let us know your size and any personalization you might prefer, and we'll get you a shirt going. Thank you for celebrating with us as well. It is time to round off the show, but we have a really complicated, tough question in the mailbox from this. And this one is from Mark Sisler. He asks, I know I've asked this before, but I was wondering if you have any mental tips. I keep crumbling late and weakening games, and to be honest, it's completely ruining my enjoyment of this game. My game just goes to pot when trying to defend the lead laid in, and I'm struggling a lot with it. It doesn't really actually happen in Rivals, just in Weekend League. Well, to be honest, I sometimes feel like I have more chance of winning after being 2-0 down than making it 2-1. So rather than when I'm 2-0 up and they make it 2-1, if that makes sense. I'll ask Yngwie first. Yngwie, what do you see happening here with Mark, and what would you recommend for him?
Maybe playing too many matches in a short amount of time, or kind of focusing on I need to get a certain rank, putting a lot of extra pressure that way, and like hearing from other players that he knows that they're getting certain rank, and he like feels like he has to get just as good or maybe better, and then makes him even more stressed, and and then the snowball keeps rolling. So that's for me, it's like I try to not set any goals before I start. I'll just take one match at a time. And if it's the first match I play, I maybe win or lose or whatever. But if I feel really stressed, I just have to take a break. Because if I force playing, then I'll play so badly. I make so many mistakes. and then it will affect the rest of the champs weekend as well. So I think it's about spacing maybe matches, putting less pressure on reaching certain goals and just try to enjoy one match at a time if that's possible.
Good advice, good advice. Chris, anything to add for Mark?
So if I heard the question right then, John, he's saying he's losing leads late in the game, is that right? Was that part of the problem?
Yeah. So he's scrumbling late in weekend league matches.
So the simple thing is your opponent can't score if they don't have the ball. And I know it's a ratty. I know it's a ratty thing to do.
Is it though?
But if you find yourself at 70 minutes, let's be honest, because that's when players will sometimes put, you know, high pressure on, pressure players. Keep the ball. Just keep the ball. Don't, you know, if you've got the lead and you're winning with 70 minutes to go, you see it in real football, you know, waste a bit of time. There's only a few minutes left, 60 seconds of that with the game left. Just keep the ball. I find it myself sometimes is that I don't want to be that person that keeps the ball. So what I do is I attack and then lose the ball the 85th minute. And of course, then you're under pressure because you're thinking 5 minutes to go, he's going to score, we're going to go extra time. And you maybe don't defend properly. So the simple thing is, if the win matters to you and or getting that rank, as Ingby says, is just keep the ball, just play it. And eventually he will pull his players out of position and they can just turn it around the corner and your striker can be away. And if your striker's away and you're not sure he's going to score, just run to the corner and hold the ball up in there and get the win.
That's real ratty advice. No, but you're completely, I think, completely right. One of the things is, like you said, I think holding the ball is very important, but there's also a thing called self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you think that if they hit the press button, or what is it called? What people say, the overpowered press now, and that breaks the game for you. If you think that's happening, that is what is going to happen. If a cyclist say, hey, I will not go, don't look at this white curve line on the road, you will probably hit that white line on the road. Knock yourself out, right? And I think if you feel something becoming a trend, you have to break that trend by thinking differently about it. So mechanically, it's like what you guys said, spread out your games, definitely take breaks when you feel it coming. I do very much agree on that. But also, like Chris says, just hold the ball, basically, because they can't really score when you have the ball. And there's a reason they go press is because they are in a mood, if that makes sense. They are probably getting a little bit tilted. But see it as a compliment. Like being too up and your opponent changes style is a compliment for you. Instead of, oh, now he's doing this. If it was really that strong, they would have done it from minute one, right? And I think if you think this, I've seen this a lot with pro players, if that makes sense. There's a couple of pro players which we've helped, which are very much centered, zoned into a game. And one of our things we have to do is make sure we know what they're thinking. Because if we know what they're thinking, we can change their thinking, if that makes sense. And if once we start seeing their patterns and we get them to talk during matches, for example, something that really stands out is, I had a player, for example, that always said, okay, usually when we're 60 minutes in and playing really well, the game starts giving them the passes stop hitting for some reason. And the first time that happened, They said like, okay, he's it. Now the game does like this. And the second pass go wrong. You see, now the game's doing it again. And suddenly they start thinking the game keeps doing that. They start being frustrated about what just happened instead of focusing on what's still about to happen. And they got caught in the mental loop of, uh-oh, look at this. Uh-oh, oh, now they scored. You see, it's going against me. They scored. I knew this wouldn't be going well. And if you think you're not going well, you're probably not going to end well, right? Trying to get those thoughts out of your mind and reflecting on them later on is a really good thing. Like it's a thing we try to do, but of course, hey, we're coaches. We have a team that actually talks with players about that, which is hard to do on your own. But what I usually do recommend, if you're like a solo player just playing and you find this is an issue for you, please start with involving all the mechanical tips Chris and Ingvi just gave, but just take a notepad, right? And after match one, you just put in match one, this is the end result, and put on note what your first thought is. Maybe leggy, maybe DDA. I have to think how that was calling Chris, but maybe DDA, maybe. Oh, yeah, of course I lost the trio leader, Ken. Oh, of course they lost press, right? You put that out and you put it on either on the Discord or you try to reflect later on. You look at it and try to think about it differently. So, hey, they put on press while I was 3-0 up and it made me lose the game. And instead of thinking, hey, that made me lose the game, think of, hey, they switched their play around because I was already 3-0 up. So if I then incorporate the mechanical part, it's actually a compliment. I will probably score the 4-0 as well. And if you take that one time at a time, one game at a time, and it's hard to incorporate yourself, like I said, I think 30%, maybe 40% sometimes with pros is actually way higher because we don't have to teach the mechanical part. This is basically all we do. Coach them on the thoughts process about what's going on and what's about to happen and how they can deal with that. And sometimes it's just like, okay, you were unlucky. It could happen, but that's it. Next time you'll be lucky. Go on to the next one. Forget about it, right? It's like why I said, if you look at Formula One drivers, they're looking at one corner at a time instead of thinking about, hey, what will happen in 20 laps? Because if they start thinking, hey, my tires won't work for the next, for 10 more laps, in that same lap, they will start dropping off already because their focus wasn't on the next turn. And I think incorporate the mechanical things, try to rethink your first thoughts. And if that makes it easy, you can, of course, check out footcoaching.com, but it wasn't meant as an advertisement. But if you could just write it down on paper, put something counter towards that thought and go your next match in with that new thought, if that makes sense, or that new focus or that new mindset, you'll probably see that you can break those mental cycles or mental things while going at it. I hope that makes sense because I always find it a little bit hard to try to convert it from the sessions into a 3-minute talk on a podcast. But does it help a bit, Chris, for you as well? Perspective plays in perspective?
Yeah, it does. I mean, certainly it does. As you know with me, John, I believe in DDA. So sometimes
that's why you're still in Division 6. But hey,
exactly. But that's, you know, that's for me is, yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, you have to change your mindset. It's those 5 minutes before halftime or 15 minutes before the end of the game are vitally important. You know, how many times in real football do you hear teams have the lead and a team scores late in the half, just before halftime? And that changes momentum. So what I would also say is, and this might be something that you, if you've, say you're 2-0 up and you lose a goal and it's 2-1, take your time. Don't rush. Let him celebrate if he celebrates. Or if you've got the kickoff, just take a pause. Because that means that that person, they're excited, they're riled up, they're on fire. You're the one that feels a little bit dragged down. So when if the kickoff's there and it's 2-1, there's no long to go, just take as long as you can with the kickoff as well. And that just makes them think. That just slows them down, slows their heart rate down a little bit as well. And they're not so excitable, your opponent.
Yeah, or do like I do. I don't even watch the clock. It's like, oh, this match's already over. Oh, okay, that's cool. Because when I do them, like, then the things start, you start thinking about future thing that might happen. And that's usually what kills you, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Ingvi, anything to add on the topic, my friend?
No, I think that's, I think we've covered it all, really, to be honest.
Yeah. That leaves us just with one thing left to do. See you next week. Enjoy your weekend. But it's time for us to
drop it.
Drop it.
F U T. In view.